And you are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, and 106.7 FM St. Paul, Radio Without Boundaries. Programming on KFAI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota.
And we're talking here with Mike Jan and Larry LaPole, and we just heard Trashman, two of the not just quintessential Trashman songs, but quintessential hot rod vocals of any sort during the 1963 through 1964, maybe into 65 continuum there. A-Bone, short for Model A Ford, and also My Woody. And both of those songs written by our guest here, Mr. Larry LaPole. And Larry, one of the things which is always impressed me about these is, one, I mean, of course, you got the musicianship and you got the melody on these songs are rock solid. But what's particularly gratifying on your songs here, every one of them, is the accuracy of the of the terminology. Because we know that I mean, there are like dozens and dozens of you talked about a primer for surfing terms, glossary and such. There's dozens of those. Back of LPs were full of glossaries for hot rod terms, because it's a very arcane, particularly back in the 1960s, very arcane terms and such. And everything on this thing is dead nuts correct, as opposed to, you know, people, a lot of the hot rod songs were grossly inaccurate. It's like, it'd be like somebody singing a song like, and it's 2, 3, 4 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. And somebody would say, well, that's ludicrous. That's wrong. We know there's only 3 strikes. Hot rod music, people would get by with writing like bad lyrics. But this is totally accurate. How did it come to be? Another glossary?
It came to be because my poor old dad bought me a 35 Chevrolet coupe, which I should have left alone and driven just the way it was. But I proceeded to tear it apart, and I spent 2 years making a street rod out of it. And it was a Chevy 6 on top of it. Now, I know a lot of classic car guys out there are laughing about that, because there was nothing that a Chevy 6 could even come close to comparing to a 32 Deuce coupe with a V8 Ford engine in it.
Yeah, flathead and such.
Yeah, but I did learn a lot about terminology for hot rods. And I had just about finished that car. It had 17 coats of aquamarine lacquer on it. And I took it out. It took about 2 days to tear the transmission out of it. I had gone to California in 1954, and I had Ed Iskaderian grind a full-race cam for it. And so when I put that full-race cam in there and 3 Ford carburetors on it, it took that transmission out so fast.
Shelled it like a walnut.
Yeah, and I found another transmission for it, and I took it out, and it took about maybe 2 weeks to take that transmission out. And then I put it up on blocks and went in the service, went in the Army. And I got out of the Army, and I took it off the blocks, put another transmission in it, and I drove it very, very carefully and traded it for a Jaguar XK120 Roadster.
That's a high zoot ride.
And that was the end of my street rod days.
Well, we're thankful that cranked out so many great lyrics to those songs. And what were you just saying? Tell me what you were saying, something about My Woody, with your favorite part of there.
Oh, I really love the way they did the bridge on My Woody, a roller cam Huffer blown fueling machine.
Yes, yes.
And how they it progresses through some minor chords there. Those guys know a lot more about music than I do, and I did not put those minor chords in there. Tony did that.
They kind of enhanced them on their own, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony.
And they did a great job.
Yeah. Were you writing the roughing out the melodies for these songs as well then?
Yeah.
Okay, so you weren't working with an existing melody. You were starting from scratch.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cool. We're gonna start playing some of your songs which our listeners have not heard before. But I would be remiss if I didn't get back to something that some folks have asked us to elaborate on, and that is your relationship to the Star and Tribune. I mean, you were employees there for a long time, but how did that fit into the whole? How the Minneapolis Star and Tribune newspaper plays a very big role in the Trashman Surfing Bird, the LP, the logos, everything.
Well, Larry and I were working together in the advertising art department, and we one day we were standing around chatting, and it came up about guitars. Larry, one of his hobbies was playing guitar, and I immediately asked him, you know, what do you play? What kind of music? And country came up, and we had something to talk about thereafter, and that was our bond, which led to when my friends, the Trashmen, needed some songs. Obviously, we made a connection there. But meanwhile, bring it up to where the album was being recorded, an album, the Surfin' Bird album, at K-Bank would need a cover. So we got involved with that, knowing that Heilitscher Brothers didn't really have an art department per se out there. We wanted to get our fingers into, couldn't resist putting our 2 cents worth in. We got another one of our fellow artists, John Thule, involved with the photo shoot to go out and take the picture for the album cover.
Can I interrupt? Do you know where that was photographed?
Oh yeah. Remember it well. That was done Lindahl Oldsmobile, which is now the site of Best Buy out in on 494 in Richfield. Lindahl Olds out behind. My father happened to be working there at the time and lined up a parts truck that they used to haul the old parts from the body shop away to the trash dumpster with. And immediately the connection, he said we could get, set up out there to do the shoot. It was on a cold, either October, November day, a little bit, fall-like. But we could see when the picture was taken, the snow was coming in. We knew we were going to get hit. It had to be taken that day or we were going to be standing in snowdrifts. We froze the four guys. Steve got pneumonia out of the photo shoot standing out there on that dump truck with his drums. They had to go play in Eau Claire, Wisconsin that night, so we were unable to do the second photo shoot that Stu Kloner from Heilitscher Brothers had lined up out at some house in St. Louis Park where the alternate shot was going to be a lady in a long gown coming out the front door of the house holding a trash can, presenting it to the band with the picture of, being presented with this girl with a long gown. Well, it didn't happen.
Whose idea was that?
Whose idea? Stu Kloner, rest his soul, deceased promotion manager out at Heilitscher Brothers. We argued, but we went out because they ran out of time. The guys had to leave for Eau Claire, and we got 2 shots taken of the truck, the dump truck out behind Lindahl, and the rest is history. John took it back to the Star Tribune and started doing lettering on it, the Surfin' Bird lettering. That's all his work. The logo, to make a long story short, was his design. The Trashman, it was contemporary with the lettering of the day. And we said, you got to keep using it. We told Sundazed, that's what's got to be on the box set and the other albums because that's their logo. And we'll take it. We should play some more music, I think, at this point.
And the famous logo that festooned the side of their Corvair Greenbrier van. And
right, yeah, and it got painted on. Well, okay. Keith Wiseman, one of our another artist that worked at the paper. We got everybody involved with the band somehow. Not during company business hours, but after hours. We talked about it on coffee breaks, but Keith Wiseman knew how to paint lettering, sign painting on the side of a truck. He got the van up at Tony's father's gas station in North Minneapolis in the heated garage in the middle of winter, and was able to go up there and paint the bird and the lettering and all the rest on the Corvair van that's on the album photo, the covers and inside the box set. So we got everybody involved with the project. Larry was doing the bird drawing from that Heilitscher sent over, the actual like a bobblehead of the surfing bird that came over, and they needed a line drawing of it for promotion purposes on their promotion flyers. So that's Larry was commissioned for that. Threw it in for free, but he got paid later with the songwriting, sort of.
I would like to add one thing to that.
One thing.
We're lucky that both of us never got fired.
Thank goodness, yeah, right. We all needed the money, both of us, and appreciate that. It was a fun time. We knew it was a one-time event, and we just got on the bandwagon and rode it and did it.
That's great. That's great. We're talking to Mike Jan and Larry LaPole here, talking things of a trashman type nature here. And, you know, we've just played A-Bone and My Woody songs that Larry wrote. But we're going to play a couple songs here that people are not aware of. Most of the Radio Rupus Room listenership are not aware that Larry LaPole was a country western artist in his own right here. And we're going to play two of the two tracks from his discography here. We're going to start with a little country western, Golden Diesel Gene. Is that what's queued up?
Yep.
And got anything to say about that, Larry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the A side of that record is a place called Vietnam. And Mike sent a place called Vietnam down to Bill Anderson in Nashville. And I think he felt that the Ballad of the Green Berets was going to knock everything off the charts. But at that time, Red Sovine was working with him. And Red Sovine played the other side of the record, which is the Golden Diesel. Or I believe he did. I'm assuming this. And wouldn't you know, 2 or 3 months later, out came Phantom 409, which was a big hit.
Absolutely. Well, let's hear these two songs. We'll come back and talk about these a little bit more here. We're going to hear Larry LaPole's. It's Larry LaPole and the Polecats doing Golden Diesel on the West Wind label. We're talking about that too here in Radio Rupus Room.
He was big, broad, and handsome with a heart of solid gold. A rambling diesel driving. Diesel Dan, he hauled logs in Canada and freight in Alabama. before it crashed on through the canyon rim.
We just heard Larry LaPole, and specifically Larry LaPole and the Polecats, doing A Place Called Vietnam from about 1966, and the flip side of his song Golden Diesel. Both of those were on the West Wind label. And so let's talk about West Wind. Let's talk about the songs in particular.
Well, the label was our first release on West Wind that Larry myself and Tony Andreessen from the Trashmen got together and were responsible for and kicked it off. First release, we need to mention the background singers, the girls that did an excellent job, the Arlyles, that were later used on a lot of the Trashmen songs after Surfin' Bird album. Paula Renfrew, Sue, and I can't remember her last name, and Judy Wilson from up in the northeast area, Roseville, and whatnot. Terrific job.
And girls, if you're out there, I want you to know that when I was down in Nashville with that demo tape, they thought that you were really great. They wanted to know where you came from, and you did a terrific job, and we appreciate it.
Sounded really good. It's great, great harmonies back there. Let's talk about a place called Vietnam, which is exceptionally topical back in 1966, 67, and such. Now that was you recorded that because of your experience playing it live. Is that right, Larry?
Experience.
Well, I mean, you were playing that live in the.
I was going to say that just being here tonight brings back a lot of memories, because the Polecats played a little over 2.5 years right next door in that vegetarian restaurant right on the corner. That was the Excuse Club.
And now it's the Acadia. Used to be the New Riverside Cafe.
Yep.
Cedar Riverside.
And I tried out a lot of my songs on the audience over there. And I walked these sidewalks and these alleys many, many nights. So coming down here tonight really brings back a lot of memories.
And was it a nice glitzy area at that time? Glitzy?
Are you practicing your stand-up comedy routine?
Was it like the mean streets?
We were lucky to get home alive some nights.
The university hadn't quite taken over the area.
West
yet.
Bank hadn't taken over yet.
And kind of a rough area then.
Yes, it was.
Yep. You told me once that in the what is now the Acadia, in the Excuse Club there, that for decades there was a little souvenir of
little
shows.
A little crescent in the ceiling tiles, because one night one of our loyal patrons had a little bit too much to drink, and I had a little bit too much to drink, and we were trading barbs back and forth, and he said, you give me one more of those, and I'm going to throw this glass at you. And, of course, I didn't believe him, and I let him have one more zinger, and he threw the glass, and and the rim of the glass put a crescent in that soft ceiling tile up above my head, because at the Excuse Club, there was a stairway leading up to the stage. The stage was up above the bar, up on the ceiling. And we were looking down across the bar and then into the audience.
Oh, okay.
And in those days, they didn't have very good ventilation, and we were sucking in a lot of secondhand smoke.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yeah, I remember one night when there were a lot of more famous entertainers that played at the Triangle Bar up the block, and I remember one night. You couldn't see through the smoke in the Excuse Club, but this fellow came in. He was leaning against the back wall of the bar where the windows are now. And John Peck was my drummer, who later became the infamous Johnny Pecos and then Baby Huey at the Flame Cafe. He got up and he went down. He started talking to this guy, and we were... took our break, and after the break, we got back up on the stage, and John said, "You know who that was?" And I said, "No," because I couldn't see through the smoky haze. He said, "That was Garfunkel, because Simon and Garfunkel were playing at the Triangle, and he had come down to listen to us, and what he was most fascinated by was Bobby Montgomery on that steel guitar, who you just heard playing on a place called Vietnam."
Oh, right.
And he said, "Where'd you guys ever get that idea to use a steel guitar instead of a lead guitar?" And we just took what we had or what we could get our hands on in those days. But anyway, wouldn't you know, their very next album came out, and they had a steel guitar on it. So that's a tribute to Bobby Montgomery, who just passed away a year ago this month. He was he was living out by Lewiston and Clarkston, out by the Snake River.
Oh, okay. Well, we're gonna. I really appreciate these stories. They're really, I mean, the Excuse Club, now the Acadia. I mean, there's some history there. Right next door to the it's at the corner of Cedar Riverside, folks. You know, kitty corner from the 400 Bar. But we're gonna play another one of your songs, and we're gonna play Meaner Than You is queued up. Is it not, Gene?
Yes, it is. I gotta slip in a little announcement first, and then we could get right to it.
Okay.
All right.
KFAI is supported in part by the Birchwood Cafe, a Seward neighborhood restaurant featuring homemade and organic foods, beer and wine. The Birchwood, located at 3311 East 25th Street in Minneapolis, is now open 7 days a week and is wired with Wi-Fi. Hours, directions, recipes, and weekly menu updates are available at birchwoodcafe.com.
And Larry, can you give me a one-sentence introduction to Meaner Than You?
A one-sentence introduction?
Yeah.
Well, I wrote this for my third wife.
I think that does it right there. Meaner Than You on the West Wind label here in Radio Rumpus Room.
Hey, early in the morning, about a quarter past four, I hear you knocking on the back porch door. I hear you crying, please let me in. Everybody knows you've been chasing a deer, cheating, and doing what you do. The big bull gator in the swamp out back, like the cold, cold rain coming down on the shack, like a cottonmouth sneaking up a green willow tree. You gotta be meaner than all of them three. Lying,
lying,
and doing what you do.
Oh,
I know a whole lot of mean, mean women, but I don't know any meaner than you. Single honky-tonky in town, like a hummingbird searching for a sweet water vine. You keep on moving all the way down the line, sneaking,
sneaking,
and doing what you do. Getting ready to howl. When the sun is up, you come a-dragging on in. Woman, you're sure getting under my skin. Cheating,
cheating,
and doing what you do.
Doing what you do.
Oh, I know a whole lot of mean, mean women, but I don't know any meaner than you. Yeah, I know a whole lot of mean, mean women, but I don't know any meaner than you.
Larry LaPole's second single, Meaner Than You, on the West Wind label. Let's talk about that briefly.
The lead player on the guitar there is none other than Tony Andreessen of the Trashmen. The bass player, Bob Reed, of the same band. We used who we could get. We got a good deal on them participating, and we thank them for playing. Okay, we got another one coming up. Tony doing a country... another country song, one of Larry's, song, Neil Diamond's I'm a Believer, that Tony did in a country style, a country version of. that we recall Texas Bill Strength being quite excited over the way we rearranged the way Tony came up with it. We said, you got to record this, Tony. It was never a hit, but hey, you know, it was his alter ego doing country.
And you're hearing it here on Ready Rumpus Room. Pretty soon from the top.
Yes,
we've got Ron Gerber coming up here in just a minute or two.
Yet. I was.
But we just heard Tony Andreessen covering. Well, you knew it from the Monkees song, but Neil Diamond's "I'm a Believer." Guys, that was great on your Westwind label.
Yes,
that was hugely entertaining.
go ahead.
I wanted to mention. John Peck, who became Johnny Pecos, and then he became Baby Huey at the Flame, is living in Moose Lake now, for anybody who remembers him. And, of course, he's living the good life after enduring all those smoky honky-tonks and near misses with death. I don't know how we survived 20 years of that, but we did. But he's living the good life. He's married to a school teacher, and I guess that's every cowboy's dream, to be married to a beautiful school teacher.
Also worked at the Star
school
Tribune.
Mom. It everything comes back to the Star and Tribune,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, John worked at the Star Tribune, played drums for Larry in the Polecats.
Well, hey, we have reached the end of our trail drive here, folks, and I want to thank Mike Jan and Larry LaPole. This has been a great 90 minutes, and it went by way too fast. We could use another 90 minutes just to cover all this.
Yeah,
this don't think maybe I have to come back here and trot over some new territory. We got all kinds of stuff we can talk about. But guys, thanks so much for coming down here to the Radio Rumpus Room Garage and the KFEI and sharing your music with us and your memories. We owe you guys so much. I mean that sincerely. We owe you so much. There wouldn't be a Radio Rumpus Room if it weren't for you folks.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
And letting us play our old records again.
Well, we got to go, so.
That's right. Coming up next week on Radio Rumpus Room, Top Cat will be sitting in for us. So thanks to everyone for listening and for calling, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Stay tuned for Craft for the Past.